for our name's sake, but it's for His that He helps us to accomplish those things that are before us, and I thank the Lord for that. I do want to make one announcement. We do not have the air conditioning on, and I know what Brother Gallagher said now. It's sort of cool right standing right here, and the blessings of heat pumps, and they don't do too well in very, very cold weather, so I went and turned the heat strips on that. We may have to take up a special offering to pay the bill, but we're going to stay warm and try to take care of that. But they're working very, very hard, I'm sure. I just checked the weather. I think it still says about 10, 12 degrees, something like that. And wind chill tonight is supposed to be 15 below zero, and that's pretty tough. Now, if you live in Alaska, you're used to that, but I don't live in Alaska. So tonight we just discontinue the service, not have services, because if you get caught in some kind of a problem, it doesn't take long to be a real problem. And so we'll not have service tonight, and maybe by Wednesday things will begin to be a little better. I think we're under this severe weather, a wind chill through Tuesday. And, of course, school starts Tuesday morning, so pray the Lord will help us with that. All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. The book of Exodus, chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read verse 1 and 2. And this being the last day of the year, looking forward to a new year, this verse certainly does fit the time frame, or at least the wording of our time frame. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." In the morning when we wake up tonight at midnight, we'll be in a new year, a new month. And the only problem is the old problems and the old natures and the old sin will still be with us just like it is today. But we count time, and we have watches on our wrists to count time. We have calendars that we hang to count the days of the year. And the Lord told Moses and Aaron here, said, "Now, this is a month of beginnings to you." And he says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to year." And so many ways this past year has been a great year. God's blessed us. God's given us the things that we needed. Many of us can can rejoice that the health problems of days gone by have not come to resurface upon us. But to some folks, it has been maybe not as wonderful, maybe a woeful year. Difficulties arise and financial problems and sickness comes upon us. Death invades our family. And so life goes on and continues on. And this next year will be no different than this year concerning the process of life. But in the morning will be the beginning of months for us. It will be a new year for us. And we read here in Exodus 12, we find the background to these words was that Israel had been now in Egypt for around 430 years. And the Lord says, "I'm going to deliver you." When they went down to Egypt, they didn't intend to remain very long. They went down in the way of famine and difficulty, needing to have food. And Egypt had food because we know God presented and gave to Egypt Joseph that had Egypt to prepare for the drought that was to come. So the family of Israel, they go down because of the famine. And they didn't intend to remain very long, but it ended up being 430 years. They went down in their freedom, and they had their fullness, and they began to multiply, and now they have come to a time of poverty and slavery. And in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, He said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I'm glad this morning God knows our sorrows. God knows our needs. God knows every particle about us. He says, For I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the land, hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But in that land of milk and honey, there are the Canaanites, and there are the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. In the land that God promised them, He said also, there's difficulties that are ahead. And Israel had to face every one of those tribes, every one of those peoples, and had to defeat them in order to gain the land that God had given to them. We have a land before us, as far as we know, tomorrow, if the Lord does not come and we're here tomorrow, we have a land that's before us that we call 12 months. And in those 12 months, there are the different problems and the different issues of life that come before us. But I'm glad the Lord knows our sorrow. I'm glad the Lord knows our needs before we ever get there. And I'm glad He says, I've come and I can deliver you. And so every problem that we might have, every issue that we might face, I'm glad the Lord knows that. I'm glad the Lord has taken care of that, and He can deliver us. He said, I've seen the affliction of my people. We live in a world that despises gospel. We live in a world that despises God. We live in a society that doesn't have anything, doesn't want to do anything, and have anything to do with salvation and the things of the Lord. But God knows our affliction, God knows our needs, and He can supply those needs according to His riches. As we begin 2018, that doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem like it's very long that we just look back a few years and we were anticipating what would happen when 2000 arrived. Now, 18 years have gone by. We've grown older. We've grown hopefully wiser in many of our ways of life. But when tomorrow begins, 2017 is history. It has been written and it will not be altered. It cannot be changed. But we do have that which is before us. And hopefully we can have success and have learned from issues and mistakes of our life. There are traditions of different areas of the country. Tomorrow's meal, people do different things, eat different, a little differently than usual. Always heard black-eyed peas and what else was it? Hog jaw. And those different places have different traditions. And so we face that and we see that. And as this year ends and a new year begins, we have a limitless possibility to serve the Lord. The only limits that are there is what we place upon that as a believer. And so I believe we, as 1 year closes and 1 year opens, we can certainly reflect on what has happened in the year gone by. We can look at our personal families, our personal lives, and there are things in our personal life that maybe nobody else knows about but us. And we can look back upon that and be rejoicing how God has delivered and how God has done many things for us in our personal life, in our family life, and in our church life. There have been people that have been born. There are babies that have come into this world. There are folks that have left this world, as we have noticed in these last few weeks. Different ones have departed this life. And we can reflect back upon that and to realize the Lord has been good to us. We're breathing this morning. We're living this morning. And we have hope of eternal life tomorrow through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we should ask ourselves, I am saved. Am I serving, or am I maybe slacking off in the things of the Lord to serve Him and to honor the Lord because He's been so good to us, and trusting and hopefully that we will live our life to serve Him the best of our abilities in these months that are ahead. Am I trusting or am I doubtful? Do I hold on to that which I have, or do I have distress and fear that things may not work as we want them to? The greatest problem many of us have, and greatest problem that many Christians and people in general have, is this thing of not knowing the future. It's the fear of the unknown. Well, I'm glad I have some knowns in my life, some things that would be used of God and can be blessed can be blessed of the Lord. One thing I know, I was dead, now I'm alive. The blind man told his accusers, he said, I don't know all the details about it. He said, but I was blind, now I see. You and I, at one time, we were without God, we were without hope. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but thank God he came and delivered us and gave us a new life through Christ. So we can reflect back on what the Lord has done for us. I wonder this morning if you would just take a moment and remember back the time of your salvation, and maybe take a minute and just give me the year, and we'll look at some things along of remembering. I'll go first. I was born in 1951. I was reborn in 1959. I was 8 years old when the Lord saved me, and thank God for that salvation that's lasted all these years and will continue to last, not only the days of my life, but it will last all through eternity for the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God for salvation, reflecting back upon that. Somebody else, give me a year real quick. 1969, and thank God it's continued to do. I heard a voice over here. 1985. Brother Jay, 1959. We got saved the same year. What month did you get saved?
November 21st.
Well, I beat you just a little bit. Night before his 30th birthday. That tells a little difference there. And I was 8 and he was 30, but just a few days apart. I was saved on November the 15th. 1955, somebody else. 1966. 73, Patty. 19. Well, a lot of years there. Anybody else want to? 91, 92. When? 68. Somebody else over? 97. It's good to think back, Betty. All right, 72 or 73. I think it doesn't matter if you know for sure. You're okay. And I'm glad we have an encounter with the Lord. And the time that we meet him, it makes a change in our life. Anybody else? All right, I'll go on. And so we reflect back on the days gone by. But now tomorrow is the beginning of a new month and a new year. What's ahead? What's in the future for us? Well, I know one thing that's not in the future for us as believers: we will not get saved again. And that salvation experience is a one-time experience that comes to each of us as we believe upon him, trust him, and we depend upon what he did, not what we do. And so we find that that we have the days ahead and the rejoicing of what God has given to us. And can I trust him? I've trusted him this long. You've trusted him from that time of the year that you gave to this very moment. And thank God we can continue to trust him. But sometimes problems arise. Sometimes fears come and difficulties arise to us. Can I trust him or can I be fearful? Can I be obedient or will I be in distress? Well, I think we can be obedient and sometimes be in distress. And the process and the pressures of life. But thank God we have one that goes before us. And so as we reflect on what God has done for us, we can resolve now what we will do for the Lord. What can I do for him, he that has blessed me in so many ways? I found this just the other day. It says every morning you're handed 24 golden hours every morning. In the morning, here at midnight, we'll have 24 hours. If you wake up 7 o'clock every morning and 6 o'clock, whatever time it is, God gives you 24 hours. Excuse me. If that starts, we're in trouble. Every morning you are handed 24-hour golden hours. They are one of the few things that in this world that you get free of charge. What will you do with this priceless treasure? Remember, you must use it as it is given only once. Once wasted, you cannot get it back. As the ticks of the clock go by, as the hours move around the face of the clock, and as the months are turned every 30, 31 days, those days have been given to us as a gift of the Lord, and we should resolve to ourselves that we will be used of God, that God can help us. Despite our circumstances, despite the problems and the issues that come before us, we can finish our year as we have finished this year with victory and joy, or we can finish it with distress and fear. But every hour God gives us is a blessed hour that we can be using for the Lord. We face the unknown for the year that's ahead of us. We do not know in the morning you turn on your news channel and you listen to what takes place. We have no idea what may take place this day and this night before us. But the circumstances that we live in should not affect our service to the Lord. And so the unknown comes along, but we have faith in God that He can help us and cheer us along the way. We can correct the things that are before us that's possible to correct. Now, we could go around this auditorium again and make another trip, but I would not do that. But what things would you correct in your life? What things can be different? What things can be made better? What things can be made where I can be a more productive Christian? What can I change? There are many things that we have the ability to change, but we usually do not do that. So we can correct the things that we can. We can look into our life. We can remember those things, what God's done, resolve to serve Him, and we can correct some areas of our life. If you're sitting there this morning, you say, well, I really don't know of anything that I can correct. You better look again, because there are many things we can correct. There are many things that can be better. Our way of life, our attitude, our circumstances around us that sometimes we just sort of cave into. So we ought to correct those things that we can, so God can bless us and can use us. Not only can we correct, but we ought to forget those things that we cannot do anything about. We can't do with anything about what we have done in this past year. What is done is done. As Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. What you have written in your life, you have written. It will not be altered. It will not be changed. But one day we will stand before the Lord and we'll give an account of every day of our life. I don't know about you, but that's a fearful thing. Somebody says, well, I'll be glad to go to heaven. I am too, but I sure dread the judgment. I sure dread standing before the Lord and He'd say, why on this day, why did you do this? Or why did you have that attitude? Why did you respond that way? And I'm going to have to give an account to my life. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is not determining where I'm going to heaven or not. Thank God that judgment is because I'm already saved. Salvation is what takes place here upon this earth. I hear people say, well, so-and-so passed away. We need to pray for their souls. Too late for that. It's too late then. We need to pray for people now and do things to encourage them to come to the Lord. But after they draw that last breath, what they have written. Just as the hour and the seconds go by today, and at midnight hour, a new day, a new month, a new year, and what we have written cannot be altered. I can correct the things that I'm able to, but those things that I cannot change, then I just need to forget them and leave them with the Lord. I can't change the attitude I had a few days back, maybe when it was. I can't change words that I spoke 2 or 3 months ago that were maybe out of hatred or out of despair. I can't change thoughts. I can't change what I have done. But I thank God I can look forward to the future and change those things there. I can't change what was said and what was done, but I can rest in the Lord. I can look to Him and I can have the forgiveness of my sins. Thank God for that. And when I stand before the Lord there at that judgment day, He will look at us, He'll examine us. And I said, as I said a moment ago, it doesn't determine if I'm going to heaven or not, but it does determine what I have to give back to the Lord, what things I have to offer unto Him. And then I can stand fast, stand true in this year that is ahead. As I wrote those things down, I began to think that this could be the last year of what we call the last days. We are living in the last days. And this could be, and I know every year at this time we think about this year could be the coming of our Lord. And guess what? It could be. And may we not say that to the point that we just say, well, we've heard that all of our life. And then be like the skeptics that say that the Scripture gives us, where is the promise of His coming? We've talked about it for decades and decades. We've talked about it for centuries, that the Lord is coming. And Paul believed that the Lord was coming. And He hasn't come yet, so does that mean He's not coming? No, it just means we're not where He desires to come back when He has that appointed time. But this first of the year, this year that is before us, we can stand fast, stand true to the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, this is becoming one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Paul writes to the Thessalonican church, and as he writes to them, every chapter has something about His coming. He is coming. And he encourages those folks. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He is saying here, I'm begging you because the Lord is coming. "I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." I'm glad to thank the Lord He's coming, and He's going to gather His jewels. He's going to bring those of us that know Him and going to take us to be with Him forever. And Paul says those that are being gathered together unto Him. In verse number 2, he says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. Paul writes to this young church, and undoubtedly somebody had given them some wrong information. They were concerned, they were confused about the day of the Lord. And supposedly someone had written something to them under the hand of the Apostle Paul that he did not write. And so he's saying to them, he says, "Brethren, I beseech you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto Him." I'm using that phrase much more than I used to use, because that is the rapture. We are gathered. We one day will be gathered unto Him. He says, don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't be in sorrow. He says, be ye not soon shaken in mind. Boy, the devil knows how to deal with your mind. He knows how to twist and turn things, and make you think things that are not even there at all. He knows how to deal with your mind. He knows how to trouble your spirit. He knows how to use words and letters and people to bring discord to the brethren. And so Paul says, don't be troubled at that. Paul says, by the coming of the Lord and our gathering unto Him, he says, don't be shaken. You and I this morning, of all people in this world, we ought not to be soon shaken in our belief of what the Word of God says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We ought not to be shocked at what we hear, because we're living in the last days. We could be living in the last year of the last days. And so he says, in these last days there shall be perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, we see that everywhere. Just give me what's mine, when really nothing is really ours. Give me what I want. Give me what I desire. He says they are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, and the list goes on and on and on. And he says, these are the perilous times. But thank God this morning, I can stand fast in the year that's ahead. I can stand true. Everywhere we look this morning, there is rejection of the truth. It's appalling. It's troubling of how many people turn their back on the truth of the Word of God. And the devil offers them something of mentality or education or just their own thought. And all of a sudden they turn their back on the truth and they have nothing else to do with the things of the Lord. Not only is there rejection of the truth, but there is a defection from the truth. It's amazing how many people are leaving, and I use the word loosely, are leaving the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something wrong. They defect from truth. Why? Because we're living in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. There is a fascination with the unknown. There's a fascination with error. If you want to start something far off the deep end, you can go ahead and do that. And guess what? Somebody's going to follow you. Somebody, you can have a national group of people follow you just because of error. Now, you and I this morning, by the work of the Lord and by the will of God, we are able to stay true to the Word of the Lord because the Spirit of God lives within us. I have a problem with people that know truth and turn from truth. Have difficulty with people that know what's right and then go the other direction. And so that's the day and age that we live, but I can stand true. I can stay true to the Word of God. You can stay true to the things of the Lord. People today are always looking for something special or extraordinary. They don't want the old ways. They don't want the ways of God. They want something that's different. Now churches are nothing more than theatrical appearances. Now they have their light shows and they have their groups, their bands, and their leaders and all those things. And it's so foreign to the Word of God. And so we find that people are always looking for that which is extraordinary. They're always seeking some new thing. Sort of like the people of Mars Hill that Paul wrote about in the book of Acts. He says they were there at Mars Hill and they were looking for some new thing. They had all kind of idols and all kind of things devoted to their traditions. And Paul said, I found one, says, to the unknown God. And there he began to preach to them the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is unknown to many, many people. Our God is not heard of. He is not mentioned. Our God is foreign to a lot of folks. But I'm glad that we can declare to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the commandment, or what is the word that the Lord would give us to keep us from going by the wayside? Colossians 2:18, the Bible says, let no man, what? Beguile you. Don't let anybody trick you. Don't let anybody confuse the issue. This book says certain things, and it means exactly what it says. I'm on a email group, and a lot of times questions are given, and it's amazing when and these are supposedly Baptist people. It's amazing when they open their thoughts and put it on the screen, how much people do not know what thus saith the Lord. But you and I this morning, according to the Word of God and to the things of the Lord, we ought to not let anybody beguile us. It ought to be to the point that nobody can confuse us on what we believe. There are certain things that are not negotiable. Now, there are certain there are certain things of life that are not spelled out. I don't like to wear a tie all the time, so I don't. But that doesn't make me a heathen. Some preachers think it does. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want to do those things. But there are things that are there that you can't negotiate on. When God tells us salvation is by grace through faith and that not of ourselves, that's not negotiable. When the Lord tells us certain things in the Scripture, then we believe that, we trust that, and nobody should shake us in the year that is ahead of us. Let no man infiltrate our hearts and our minds with that which is unreal. There's mysticism, spiritism. There's all kind of words I'd have to give definition to just so you'd know what they are. But there's all kind of thoughts out there that try to beguile us. There's those ways of life that are so foreign to the Word of God that if we're not careful, it'll overtake us. And so we need to have observation in our life. We don't need to have the beguiling, the tricking, the trickery, and the setting aside of truth. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 29. Luke writes these words, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. If Paul could say that and Luke could write it down over 2,000 years ago, already understanding that grievous wolves would enter in, and they're there to beguile, and they do not spare the flock. He says in verse number 30, also of your own selves should men arise speaking perverse things. Paul said there are those on the outside that would come in and beguile you, and there are those on the inside sometimes that will speak perverse things, wrong things. And so he warns them, these folks, he says, therefore watch and remember. I'm glad this morning I can watch what's ahead of me and I can remember what's behind me. 2017 is just about over. The book is just about shut. The problems are some solved and some not. But those days are over. And I can remember those things, but I also can watch those things that are ahead. Watch what is ahead of us and be true to the Word of God, and remember that the Lord has final say in our life, our ways, and everything that we do, that we can tell people about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other day, the funeral for Brother Tom, I tried to give so many areas where Tom would always say, I know I'm saved. And I tried to encourage people to have that same knowledge as he had. Praise God for salvation that we can know about. I know that I'm saved. But there are those on the outside that would want to confuse us. If you don't believe that, just turn your TV on this afternoon. And listen to four or five different ones. You'll get four or five different things. There are those that's on the outside that would destroy the flock and the people of God. And thank God this morning, as a Christian, as a believer, I can go to Him and have peace in my heart, peace in my mind, and realize that because of Him, because of His life, and because of His death, I am now qualified to go to heaven. Not my own rights, not my own righteousness. But thank God because of what He did for me. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The old year's going, the new year's coming. Same problems, same difficulties, same God. May God help us to serve Him until He does come for us. And this could be the year. We said that last year. I've said that for year after year after year. It could be the year. And you know what? One of these days, it will be the year. This could be the day. We may not even make it to 18. This could be the day. But the only one thing for sure, there is a day that there will be a day. He shall appear by the coming of our Lord and our gathering unto Him. Let's stand together this morning.